Hey, it is Monday. You know what that means? It's another episode of Snipes and Stripes, our weekend edition. We've got a lot to talk about today. Exciting hockey this past weekend. A lot of great playoff races. We'll get into that a little later. But first, we have to get into the major news that came down on Friday, and that is the Arizona Coyotes are finally leaving the desert and they're relocating to Salt Lake City. Even though the NHL hasn't made a official comment on this as of yet, the Coyote players met with management. I assume Bill Armstrong. I think Bill had to fly out west. He was watching his son play in the Final Four. Bill Armstrong's the GM of the Arizona Coyotes. Met with them and confirmed the reports that they are moving to Salt Lake City. Very sad times for friends of mine that I've known for 25, 30 years that have been involved with the Arizona Coyotes, formerly known as the Phoenix Coyotes. And, you know, Tyson Nash, for example, he's their play-by-play guy. Tyson played in the NHL. Todd Walsh, a lot of good people that unfortunately, unless they relocate, and who knows if the ownership of the new team that's led by Ryan Smith, who knows if he's just going to bring in his own people. So it's sad. It's sad for the people of the people that work in the building. It's sad for the PR people, the people that have worked for the Coyotes for so long. And now they're told, hey, I'm sorry, but we're moving the team. This, it never, to me, should have got to this place where it is. The problem goes back to literally 20 years ago when the Phoenix Coyotes at the time built their building in Glendale. And people that aren't familiar with Glendale's about 30, 45 minutes outside the city. Very difficult to get to. The traffic's horrendous. They built it out by the football stadium. So you literally have where the Arizona Coyotes Cardinals play. And then right beside it, you have the Phoenix Coyotes building or the Arizona Coyotes building. But the difference between football and hockey is the fans have to drive out to Glendale 8 times a year, 9 times a year for football. Where in hockey, they've got to drive out there 41 times a year for 8 or 9 times a year for football, 41 times a year for hockey. So it's really unfortunate, but it had to happen. It was a joke that, you know, I've talked about this before. Clayton Keller, who's a superstar in this league, know him very well. He's from the St. Louis area. And he's playing at the Mullet Arena that seats 4,800 to 5,000 people. How depressing is that if you're in the National Hockey League and you're pulling up to that building and that's where you're playing your home games? It wasn't sustainable. Something had to happen. And it's sad for the fans down there. A lot of people don't think they think this is all because the fans didn't show up. This is not all because of the fans didn't show up. The Arizona Coyotes / Phoenix Coyotes back in the day, they had tremendous crowds at the American Airlines Arena, and they had some really good crowds for years in Glendale, but a lot of it was mismanagement by the owners. They had some terrible owners in Arizona, and they could just never get a building built, and subsequently the NHL said, we can't let this go on for another 2 or 3 years, because even if they did get a land deal in the next 60, 90, 120 days, you're still talking 2 or 3 years before a building's built. And that's now you're up to 4 or 5 years playing in the Mullet Arena. You just can't have it. So very unfortunate. You know, Salt Lake City's a pretty good place to live, and beautiful, beautiful city there. I've skied there many times, and you know, it's exciting. You close a chapter in Arizona, but you open a new one in Salt Lake City. And the thing is, they've got billionaire owners in Ryan Smith. So this is going to work out in Salt Lake City, and should be exciting for that franchise. I want to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews. JR, months ago, he said on our show that Austin Matthews, he thinks when all is said and done, he will go down as the best U.S.-born goal scorer ever in the National Hockey League. And that's pretty high praise coming from a guy that played with Mike Modano, or played against Mike Modano, played against Patrick Kane, played against some incredible American-born talent. And Austin Matthews is now up to 69 goals. He's got one game left to get to 70. And I would think Sheldon Keefe is going to dress him in that 70 in the final game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I don't know. This Sheldon Keefe kind of bugs me. I don't know what it is about the guy, but he just kind of rubs me the wrong way. He made a comment, and let me pull it up here. He made a comment that Austin Matthews, his pursuit of 70 goals is, his exact words, obviously that's a major distraction. Doesn't help us what we're trying to accomplish on the ice, but it's exciting. I get it, especially when he gets to 69, you can see it, Keith says. If I'm Austin Matthews, I'm going, I'm a distraction. I might win the Hart Trophy as the most valuable player. I'm going to win the Rocket Richard Trophy easily this year by scoring 69 goals. And I'm a distraction. That blows me. That's what bugs me about this Sheldon Keefe. He says some stupid things. And sometimes I think he feels that it's all about him and it's not about his players. This guy is a generational talent, Austin Matthews. You know, I've criticized him for his play in the playoffs, and we'll see, you know, in the next few weeks if he can change his style, not necessarily style, if he can bring his game to another level in the playoffs that we haven't seen in the past. But to call him a distraction, I think it's very disrespectful. I think it's disgusting that he would call his player a distraction because he's trying to get to 70 goals. Toronto's playing phenomenal right now, and I don't think it's because of their coach. I think it's because of their players, and I'd be interested to find out what his players think of, what the players in Toronto think of Sheldon Keefe, because I don't know. I don't think he's going to be the long-term coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think we'll see some changes in the next couple of years. But if they go on a big run this year and he takes them to the conference finals or the Stanley Cup finals, then I'll eat my words. But I don't think he'll be I don't think he'll be there as a coach in the next couple of years. So, but kudos to Austin Matthews. He's phenomenal to watch. I'm excited to see if he can score 70. His final game is, let me check here, I had it, is in Florida tomorrow. So you know what, that'll be a good test against the Florida Panthers, and I hope he gets it. So I want to give a shout out to a guy that the NHL doesn't talk about a lot. They talk about him, you know, but I don't think he gets the respect factor. I felt like he should have won the Norris a couple of years ago when he had 100 points. And that's Roman Josi, the defenseman for the Nashville Predators. He's got 85 points this year. He had four more points last night, two goals, two assists, 23 goals and 62 assists for the year. Nashville is a scary, scary team. This is a team that I don't think a lot of people picked to make the playoffs this year. And, you know, I've given a lot of credit in the past to Andrew Brunette, the coach, and Barry Trotz, but you know, you've got to give credit. This defenseman, Roman Josi, this guy is a stud. And, Hopefully he can win a Norris Trophy over the next couple of years, because I really think he deserves it. So we had some great games over the weekend. Always fun watching the Rangers and the Islanders. They absolutely hate each other. Rangers came out on top of this game. The Islanders had won a couple days earlier, and the Rangers won 3-2. Winnipeg is, I think, 3-0 against Colorado this year. They won Saturday 7-0 in Colorado. I don't know. Listen, Colorado, they've got a phenomenal team, but they're not playing very well as of late. And are they a type of team, you know, they lose 7-0 to Winnipeg, and then last night they are winning 3-0 to Vegas, in Vegas, and Vegas all of a sudden scores 3 unanswered goals in the third period, and Thomas Hertl, the pickup that Kelly McCrimmon picked up from San Jose at the trade deadline, he scores the OT winner, and Vegas signed Noah Hanifin a couple days ago to an eight-year, $7.5 million contract. I don't know where Vegas gets the money. It's unbelievable how they're able to sign these guys to long-term contracts and for big money. And while we're on Vegas, I get a kick out of it. Really doesn't bug me at all. I don't know why. It literally irritates the fans and some of the media so much. But Mark Stone, who's the captain of Vegas, incredible player, incredible leader for that team. He's been out with a lacerated spleen, and because of that, he was put on long-term relief, cap space relief, and that enables Vegas to go out and sign these other players. He's going to probably come back in time for the first round of the playoffs. Very similar to last year, they were over the cap. Very similar to when Kucherov came back in Tampa a couple of years ago when they won a Stanley Cup. They're going to be well over the cap come the playoffs. And people are like, oh, it's of course he's coming back for the playoffs. And, you know, they're working the system. And maybe they are working the system. I don't know. I don't, you know, I would think Kelly McCrimmon's a pretty stand-up guy, and I don't think that they are. But, and all, you know, and also Mark Stone had a lacerated spleen. Like, this wasn't like he had a tweaked knee or something. He had a lacerated spleen. He could not was not cleared medically to play. He physically couldn't play. So I would not want to play Vegas. You know, they added Hertl. They added Hanifin. They've got Stone back. They're going to be tough come playoff time. We've got a crazy, crazy playoff race in the Eastern Conference. The West is done. St. Louis had to win on Saturday night against Carolina. Lost to Carolina. Played a great game. Friday night they lost. Came back and they won against Seattle yesterday. They got one game remaining in Dallas on Wednesday or Thursday. So the West is set, but we have a crazy, crazy race in the Eastern Conference. And I'm just going to read this off. We've got the Islanders are playing great. The Islanders, you know what? They kind of were up and down. They would win one, lose two, win two, lose three. But they've rattled off 6 wins prior to the game against the Rangers yesterday that they lost in overtime. But they're secure now with 90 points. Tampa Bay has 96. The last wild card position is open. Washington has two games remaining with 87 points. Detroit's got two games remaining with 87 points. And Philadelphia's got one game remaining with 87 points. And Pittsburgh has two games remaining with 86 points. So you've got Washington 87, Detroit 87, Philly 87, Pittsburgh 86. My money, if I was to bet on who was going to make the playoffs here, just because of their schedule, I would give the advantage to Detroit. They play in Montreal tonight. I'm sorry, Montreal is in Detroit tonight. Their final two games are against the Montreal Canadiens. They're in Montreal, or I'm sorry, they're at home, like I said, to Montreal tonight. Then they play in Montreal tomorrow. So if they win both those games, they go to 91 points, which means Washington's got to win their last two games. Washington is at home to Boston tonight. That's going to be a tough, tough game for Boston, or for Washington. And then on Tuesday, you've got Philadelphia with one game remaining, and they are hosting the Washington Capitals on Tuesday. So that is going to be a must-watch game, because both those teams are fighting for the last playoff spot. This is the best time of the year. It's incredible. This playoff race in the Eastern Conference is absolutely phenomenal. And then on Wednesday, you've got the Pittsburgh Penguins. They also have two games remaining. They have two games remaining. Wednesday, they play the New York Islanders, and that one game could determine whether Pittsburgh makes the playoffs or not. The only reason that I'm rooting for Sid the Kid Crosby. Like, I want him. I really, out of the teams that I've listed, Philadelphia, Washington, Pittsburgh, and Detroit, I'd love to see Pittsburgh get in because I just love watching Sidney Crosby play. But they're at home right now. They're at home tonight to the Nashville Predators. And that's going to be a tough, tough game for them. But they can win that game. And I'm going to watch that game because I'm going to watch that game, and I'm going to watch Montreal, Detroit, and Boston, Washington, because all three of these games have playoff implications. So it's going to be exciting. The last 3-4 days of the season, regular season is over on Thursday, and then we get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. They start on Saturday, and I said to my son driving him to school today, I go, the playoffs start Saturday. This is the best time of the year. We've got 6 games every night, it seems, different time zones. There's hockey to watch every night, and it's going to be really exciting to watch. Got to talk about the President's Trophy. Right now, the New York Rangers are holding a 1-point lead over the Dallas Stars. New York Rangers have one game remaining. They've got 112 points. Dallas has one game remaining. They have 111 points. I don't think... I never played in the NHL. I only reffed in the NHL, so I don't know how the players think, but I don't think the President's Trophy is as big a deal as some people think it is. I can remember many years. I remember the St. Louis Blues back in the early 2000s. They won the President's Trophy, and they got beat in the first round. They call it the President's Trophy curse for a reason. You win the President's Trophy. You know, we saw it, I think, with Boston last year. They got beat out in the first round by a team that barely snuck into the playoffs with the Florida Panthers. So we got a great race coming down for that. I think the scoring race, I think Kucherov is going to win that. Connor McDavid has one game remaining. It's against the San Jose Sharks. It's at home. Is it really necessary for him to play in the final game? He's kind of nursing an injury. Is it really necessary for him to play against the San Jose Sharks? So I think the scoring title is going to go to Kucherov with the Tampa Bay Lightning. It looks like McKinnon's going to finish in second spot. So do you give the Hart Trophy, which is the most valuable player award, do you give that to Nikita Kucherov because he wins the scoring race? The most valuable player doesn't necessarily always go to the person that wins the scoring race. But I don't think the Tampa Bay Lightning is in the position that they're in. They might not even make the playoffs if it wasn't for Nikita Kucherov. So I think you've got to give the most valuable trophy this year to Kucherov. McDavid's had a phenomenal year, but even when he hasn't played, you've got Leon Draisaitl that's able to pick up the slack. The same thing in Colorado. You know, Nathan McKinnon's a stud. I love the guy. But I think at the end of the day, you've got to give the Hart Trophy to Nikita Kucherov. Couple more things I want to talk about here. And that is, where am I here? Sorry. We've got to talk about, I just lost it. Give me a second. The Carolina Hurricanes. Can they get over the hump? Can the Carolina Hurricanes make a deep run this year? I'm rooting for Carolina. I love their coach and Rod Brindamore. They haven't been able to get out of that first round and make a serious run. It's going to be tough. That Eastern Conference is going to be a dogfight this year between Boston, Florida, Carolina, Toronto. Can Toronto get out of get past the second round? They made it to the second round last year, first time in 20 years that they did it. Can they do that this year? I'm watching the game against Detroit on Saturday. TJ Brody, they're shorthanded. All he has to do is ice the puck. He doesn't. He shoots it off into the corner. Detroit regains possession. Shot, Larkin scores. Important 2 points for Detroit. I just don't think Toronto's back end is deep enough to make a run. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I want to give a shout out to my partner, JR. He is traveling right now in Europe, and hopefully he'll be back soon. Want to give a shout out to Believe TV and Caffeine TV and to Whiskey in the Wild, JR's Whiskey, and also to Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from the MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchup, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And congratulations to Scottie Scheffler for winning his second Masters. I like Scottie Scheffler, but he's got the personality of a telephone booth or a fire hydrant. His personality does nothing for me to sell the game. I was kind of rooting for Max Homa or Colin Morikawa. But listen, this guy's unbelievable. His wife's home pregnant, giving birth like within hours of him winning the Masters. I don't know how he was able to concentrate knowing that his wife's going to have their child in the next few hours or maybe day or so. So shout out to Scottie Scheffler. It's my favorite time to watch golf, watching the Masters, and congratulations to him. We'll see you Wednesday for another episode of Snipes and Stripes. Watch the games for the next 3-4 days. They're going to be exciting, and let's see who gains that last wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be really exciting. Thanks a lot and have a great day.